Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. In just a moment, we are going to read Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, where it says that Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And then we're going to consider this along with some things that E.A. Elam wrote in Elam's Sunday School Notes for the Sunday School of July the 8th, 1923. And with this, we're going to be wrapping up a study that we've been having on Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so you might want to turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And then we're going to introduce the next person we'll study, and we'll wait until the appropriate time to do that. But while you're getting your Bibles, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And so now let us consider Luke chapter 2:52. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You see, Jesus grew. Luke chapter 2:40 states that the child grew and waxed strong and was filled with wisdom, and that the grace of God was upon him. He grew in every way, in stature, in intellect, in wisdom, in heart, and in favor with God and man. He grew by use of means. He grew physically by taking proper exercise and wholesome food and restful sleep. He grew in wisdom and grace by asking questions, studying the scriptures, and the exercise of mind and soul. These quiet years at Nazareth were spent in physical, mental, and spiritual development and preparation for his great public work. He resisted temptation. He prayed and attended the feast and public worship and kept God's laws. He grew in grace or favor with God, and his sincerity, purity, generosity, humility, and kindness brought him into favor with men, and thus Christians should grow. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." They must also live that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. On the cross, Jesus commended Mary to the care of John, and John from that hour took her to his home. We read in John chapter 19, 25 through 27, "These things therefore the soldiers did, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home." Now there's many tales and legends and traditions and fables and things just made up about Mary that simply are not so. Or if they are so, then we have no real validity to them. I do think it is interesting that in one of those traditions, that after John took Mary into his home, that when John went to Ephesus, he took Mary with him. You know, that's where they worship the great goddess Diana. And it sometimes makes me wonder if maybe over time, after the death of the apostles and the traditions of men begin to take on more precedence than the Word of God, that may be why Mary was so exalted to be actually almost worshipped among many instead of remaining who she was. That there's only one other time that we read about Mary in the New Testament, and that is in Acts chapter 1, 12 through 14. And this is significant. It says there about the apostles that then returned they to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's the last we read about Mary in the New Testament. There's nothing about counting rosary beads to Mary and saying, Hail Mary, Mother of God. No, that's not a New Testament thing. That's something that came about later on. She's simply Mary, the mother of Jesus. His brethren were there, showing that the brethren of Jesus, who at first did not believe on him, now they are with those disciples in that upper room, praying, continuing steadfast in prayer. And so the story of Mary here, as far as the inspired record goes, comes to a close. And all those who have exalted Mary to a position where they will actually beseech Mary to intercede for them, when we have one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and yet they'll turn to Mary and exalted her beyond measure. And when they do that, they take from Jesus the glory that is due his name. Jesus is the one that came and suffered for us, and we're to do all in his name and go to God through Jesus and not go through Mary. And of all who would be disappointed in what people have done with Mary, I guess that the one that would be most disappointed would be Mary herself, because she would not want to stand there taking some of the glory that would belong to her son. And so if we really want to honor Mary, we would honor her by staying humble and doing what she did. She prayed. We can pray. And we pray through her son in Jesus' name and not in the name of Mary. Now with that, we're going to bring this lesson about Mary to a close. And I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see we're ready for a Sunday school lesson that was prepared for the Sunday of July the 15th, 1923. And this is a lesson on Simon Peter, one of the great men of the New Testament. There are two texts that we're going to be looking at in detail concerning Peter. One is found in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, where it says, Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and in the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be so unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. Now, a second text we're going to be looking at in detail in this Sunday school lesson is in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and knowest unto him. And thou knowest unto him, Tend my sheep, Jesus said. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is John 21 in verse 17. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Let me go immediately into the geographical note for this lesson. Caesarea Philippi, originally Panaeus, was enlarged and adorned by Philip the Tetrarch of Trachonitis and named Tiberius Caesar himself. It was situated on the eastern and most important source of the Jordan at the foot of Mount Hermon, which rises 7,000 or 8,000 feet above it. It was built on a ledge of limestone rock and was strongly fortified. It was the northern extremity of Palestine and was 25 or 30 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. It is a small town now of about 50 houses, but with many ruins of towers and temples and columns and the most remarkable castle of the old Holy Land. Now, in introducing this lesson, we read that a great confession which Peter made and the good confession which Jesus made before Pilate and which Timothy witnessed before many witnesses, 1 Timothy 6:13 and 17, is of such vast importance that little space can be allotted in this lesson to other important events in Peter's life. But let's do look at a review of Peter's life. We first meet Peter in John 1:40 and 42. He was brother to Andrew and was led to Christ by Andrew. His name was Simon. His father's name was John, or Jonas, called in Matthew 16:17, and in the margin calls him Jonah. Jesus changed his name to Cephas, which by interpretation is Peter. He became a disciple of Jesus and resided at Bethsaida. He was a fisherman by trade. His partners were Andrew, James, and John, and he became an apostle later. He was sent out with the other 11. Jesus healed his wife's mother, and Peter attempted to walk on the sea to Jesus. He confessed Christ in this lesson, and he rebuked Christ also. He was present on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, and he was in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed. He cut off Malchus' ear when Jesus was arrested and followed afar off, and then he denied Christ. He repented and wept bitterly and ran with John to the grave and entered into it first. After the resurrection, Christ appeared unto him Peter was instructed to feed Christ's sheep and lambs, received with the other apostles the Great Commission, and witness Christ's ascension into heaven. He led in the selection of an apostle to replace Judas, and opened the doors of the kingdom to the Jews, or led in the preaching on Pentecost. And with John he healed a lame man at the beautiful temple.